Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game.
Welcome in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Thursday. Let's get it, folks. Let's go. Hope you're all having a great day. Hans, how are you doing, buddy?
Well, the Masters has teed off. We're watching the opening rounds. Are we in weather delay? We're out of weather delay. Did we not go into weather delay?
I think it started late, but I was getting nervous because we've been stuck in delightful meetings all morning. And so I'm like, am I watching the 2014 replay? Like, is this what's going on right now?
Yeah. You never know. And then you're reporting on an insane shot by Tiger Woods to win it. And you're awfully wrong. So you got to know when you're in delay and what you're watching. But it does look like we are, in fact, watching live coverage of the Masters, and it feels good. Look how beautiful that course looks.
I love it so much, man.
Every blade of grass perfectly in line. The trees, every tree manicured to perfection. It is the most beautiful course on TV. It's why it's become my favorite of the four majors.
By a mile.
Just aesthetically, it's stunning. And we come out of these long winters, especially here in Utah, and you haven't seen green grass forever, and now you're watching the grass come out of the snow, and you're like, it's patches of brown everywhere, and it looks horrible, and there's mold on top of it. And then you turn on the TV and you see this. It's a reminder that spring is coming, summer is coming, which means football's on its way. So a lot of good things when the Masters tees off.
That's why, you know, the Masters and the NFL draft in April, and I enjoy those events, but it also is like, okay, we're at the halfway point because we've made it 4 months without football.
Yeah,
and now we're 4 months away from football.
Yep.
It's kind of like
weird
the halfway.
How it's a timing.
Yeah,
it's kind of a sports timer when the Masters tees off. Outside of that, Scotty, it's like this: the NHL world just continues to swirl. And I thought about this so much last night, and I know you got some thoughts. I've got some thoughts that I've put together, that I've formulated with the opportunity that we potentially have in front of us, how I think it needs to be handled. Those types of things. I think we've got a lot of conversation in front of us.
We do. Lloyd, you good in there, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Lloyd, I want you to know I respect you as a person and as a worker and everything that you bring to the table.
Truth is, and your text messages say otherwise.
And I appreciate all you do for us and the radio station. Hans, it is a joy and an honor to do radio with you. Who else is in there?
You
Sarah in there?
I'm going to be honest. I'm offended by your tone.
Whoa, no, no.
Nope, your tone has offended me.
No, stop it. Stop it.
I find your tone offensive, and therefore, I'm going to report you. Oh, I'm just kidding, buddy.
Oh, man.
I could never find you offensive.
I appreciate that, because we do not get offended.
No, try not to. Although from time to time you get a message and it's like, that kind of hurt.
I mean, like from a listener or something?
Yeah. And then mute it or block it, and then it goes away. It feels better.
Crazy how easy that is just to mute somebody.
Yeah, somebody called you out about muting them today.
Yeah, which, like, I didn't even mute them.
Who, me?
Well, I did some trolling over the weekend that it didn't land the way I'd hoped it land. I don't know if you saw that, but I did not see that. Well, I took a video of an illegal screen.
Wait a minute,
a moving screen?
Yeah.
And I tweeted it out, and I said, because there was 14 minutes left in the half in the game, and I said, you don't make that call with 14 minutes left on the tweet.
Yeah.
In reference to people calling out when the illegal screen was called in the women's championship game. Yeah, most people didn't get it, and so I was attacked for my lack of basketball knowledge. You just don't understand the game if you don't see that as an illegal screen. He's moving. I'm like, all right, bud.
You don't get the joke.
Nobody gets the joke. I don't know. People that make a living out of trolling on Twitter, I don't know how they do it. Because, you know, you almost troll just to have a little bit of fun, but then it's not fun because people that don't get it, they don't see it as fun. They just see it as a chance to attack.
Well, that's why I always enjoy doing the was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Because you got all these know-it-alls on Twitter that just are, they're just looking and they're just begging to find something inaccurate. And then so you throw that out there. And that movie's so old that a lot of the angry young kids out there on Twitter don't understand the joke. And they're like, you're so dumb, Bubba, learn history. And I'm like, he's stupid.
Yeah, we got you.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get to it, man. We got a lot to get to on the show today. So let's fire it up. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The NHL has sent a memo to the Board of Governors alerting them. I haven't had eyes on that memo yet, but I can tell you this. It's been sent to a very, very small circle of owners, and even some other members of the Board of Governors have not received this memo. They're trying to keep the circle tight. So there's been an acknowledgement in league circles among owners that something is happening. There is an acknowledgement to Coyotes players that something is happening. And the best way I can explain it is because this is complicated and there's a lot of nuance to it. I do think that the two sides, or I guess you could probably include the NHL in on this, the three sides are either very close, you know, an actual agreement in place that basically needs to be papered and signed and lawyered. So a lot of work still to do, but it's advanced to a stage where a lot of people feel comfortable in saying behind the scenes that this is going to happen.
So that was part of our conversation. By the way, if you missed that, you absolutely need to go back to our podcasting feed and read and listen to that. Great conversation. NHL appears to be on its way to Salt Lake City, folks. This is a growing momentum. It appears that Ryan Smith will be purchasing an NHL team. It appears that we will have hockey here in October of this season. And Hans, we were on top of it yesterday. I think if you've listened to this show long enough over the last 2 weeks, we've tried to prepare you that this is coming, that this is imminent. And now it's all about the nuts and bolts on how this thing's going to come together. But just know the wheels are in motion, folks, and let's giddy up. Time to get ready for the puck to hit the ice here in Salt Lake City.
So there are a lot of things in preparation for something like this. You know what has to happen. You know that everybody needs to find a way to be patient, get on board, be understanding, to really deliver this product to a community that I think needs it and can really use it. You and I have been doing this a long time. This will be my 18th football season on air. I know you've been doing this a long time, and we don't get opportunities like this as a community very often. You know, this is one of the big four.
Yes.
And when we talk about the big four, it's NBA, it's Major League Baseball, it's NFL, and it's NHL. I know NASCAR, and I know that there's other events, Major League Soccer, that are big, but this is considered one of the big four. And it's being delivered here to the state of Utah.
Yes.
And in order to understand the magnitude of that, let's just take a step back to the last time one of the big four came. It was in the 80s. And I think in my time on air, out of the 18 years I've been on air, 17 of it was spent thinking we would never get another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We would never get Major League Baseball. We would never get NHL, and we certainly would never get NFL.
Yeah.
Probably and, 16 years of it, 17
oh, yeah.
years of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Until, the you know, what, a year ago when the baseball, you know, rumors started to kick up. And they're like, okay, is this really a possibility? Now, the NHL's always kind of floated out there a little bit, but even then, it never really felt like it was a real possibility.
No.
I hope people understand. And to go back to your point about the Big Four and when Larry H. Miller and, you know, was able to really settle in the Jazz and make this a part of the community, the NBA was a big deal, but they were tape delaying NBA Finals games back then. Like, the NBA was not then what it is now.
No, not even close.
Not even remotely close. And so I hope people understand the enormity of what's going on right now. This is a signature moment in Utah sports history. What's about to happen here in the next couple of weeks? As you're, you know, like, you're saying it, I'm saying it, and I hope people realize what is about to transpire, because we've had a couple of people tweet in and be like, well, you know, it's hockey, I never really watch it that much, but this is a freaking major, massive deal that's about to hit Salt Lake City. We have had signature moments that have been really important to the state. The Olympics, Utah getting to the Big 12, or Utah getting to the Pac-12, BYU going to the Big 12, the All-Star Games. Those have been important for Utah. This eclipses all of those.
Yes. I sent out that tweet yesterday, and I said, out of all the things that I've seen happen in the world of sports here in the state, we've had some great things, you know, some great runs, undefeated teams at the University of Utah, a national championship team back in the 80s with BYU, but I wasn't on air at that time. We've seen a lot of great things in the world of sports here in the state of Utah. This is the biggest one since the Utah Jazz announced.
Correct.
That they'd be landing in the state. And,
yes.
And so with that comes a couple of really important thoughts. Number one, there has to be some level of understanding of what is about to happen here. When this is finally officially announced and what this brings to our downtown and to our city. Now, we saw Ryan Smith tweet out an image of what he sees as downtown. You can go see the image. It's still on his Twitter account. And it is the new arena, the new dome, and you are facing from kind of from Temple Square or from the Salt Palace down that street with the new buildings and the new high rises and the beautiful new office buildings and beautiful new condos and this wide open walkway and this downtown experience that would have a fit for everybody, an NHL fan or an NBA fan or coming down to see Temple Square or coming down for, you know, just a great time at the City Creek Mall, maybe some good food or some shopping. But this beautiful downtown that encapsulates what brings us all together, and that's sports. Nothing unifies us like sports.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're out there and you're thinking, man, I don't like NHL. Okay, hold on. Have you tried it? Have you been in the arena? Have you seen what the Golden Knights have done in Vegas? Have you seen what Vegas now thinks of the Golden Knights? It's one of the, if it's not the most difficult ticket to get, it is the most difficult ticket to get. Now, the Raiders are making a push, but I've talked to many people. That's a 20,000-seat arena. The T-Mobile Arena is 20,000 seats. I've talked to people that are big sports fans that try to get tickets and go down there, and it's as hard, if not more difficult. That's how much they love them. So understand that the NHL coming to downtown is a unifier and provides us with so many great opportunities. The next thing that's important is to understand what we've just seen with Ryan Smith and Smith Entertainment. I don't know if there's ever been an owner that's acquired an NBA team and an NHL team in this period of time. I don't know if it's ever happened. I can't imagine that it's ever happened like this. It's a 3-year period.
Yeah.
By the time this announcement comes down and that's made official, it'll be like a 3-year period. So understanding what those roots mean and what those connections mean, and then what those efforts mean, I think are really important. You know, I know that professional sports, I know it's a business, but it's also a business that I think really unifies communities. And I was on the playing end of that. I was with the Indianapolis Colts, and I actually got to ride in the Indianapolis 500 parade next to Jim Caviezel.
Oh, the actor?
Yeah.
Caviezel?
Is that his name?
Caviezel?
Jesus?
Yeah, the guy that played Jesus. I think he's probably more well-known for Pay It Forward.
Oh, I never watched that. Is that with the I See Dead People kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you say, Lloyd, that he's more well-known for Pay It Forward?
When you play Jesus, that's a tough one to top.
No, his character, his homeless character is not what he's better known for. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, anyways. So, I think
his movie with J-Lo he's more known for. What, Angel Eyes?
I don't know that one. Was it Made in Manhattan? I know that one.
No.
Okay.
That's the one Lloyd talks about all the time.
The one where he believes that he has a baboon's heart.
Okay. That's Christian Slater.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different movie.
Yeah, let's pump up the volume. No, Gleaming the Cube, sorry.
Christian Slater?
Yeah.
No, it's Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. The one where he gets the baboon heart in his chest.
And where he believes he was born with baboons.
Hey, you know what, Lloyd? This one's on you. You did this.
He's in that movie with that girl.
Okay. Regroup.
I'm not going to take the blame on this one.
But great. Thanks, Lloyd. But understanding that we're seeing things that are unprecedented.
No.
Our community is getting an opportunity that no other community really has seen. I mean, this is so fun and it's so exciting. And the other point that I really want to drive home on this, because I've been talking with some friends in Vegas and I've got some other connections. The efforts, once the understanding that the Coyotes would not be staying in Arizona or there was instability in Arizona, the efforts from different areas like Houston and Atlanta to try to attain the Coyotes and bring them to their areas or attain the Coyotes and just own an NHL team has been massive. People need to understand that this isn't like, oh, there's only one suitor. We talked about this yesterday. Oh, there's only one suitor. It's Salt Lake City. It's Ryan Smith. They're the only ones that want it. Are you kidding me? Are people out there paying attention to what's happening with professional sporting organizations and the investment that it is? These are big-time investments that bring in billions.
Yeah.
And so people need to understand that there's a bunch of people out there that might be in it for the wrong reason. Like, hey, let's buy this and we'll grow it $1 billion and we'll bring it to the Atlanta area and we'll make it ours. And it's like, no. If this happens, if it lands in Ryan Smith's lap, that tells me that the NHL sees this community and sees the Smith Entertainment Ownership Group as different. That's what it tells me.
Yep, yep. And I know we got to go to break because BT's going to join us coming up next. But I do think it's important also to note here. Look, I was just in Indianapolis, and I stayed in that downtown area for the NCAA tournament. I stayed in a great hotel. I walked 5 blocks to get to the stadium. There were multiple restaurants, bars, sports bars, like everything you could possibly want from every end of the spectrum. One of the best steaks I've ever had to a cheap burger that was available for me and music and everything. Indianapolis said, look, we're Indiana. who really wants to come to Indiana?
Indianapolis is great.
So what we should do is go all in on sports. And they have. There was a great AAA stadium right there. Obviously, the basketball arena. There was so much going on in that downtown five-block radius.
It's incredible,
and that
it?
Is what Utah needs to build. Because if there's anybody out there like, oh, Salt Lake City, well, guess what? Let's build a sports mecca. And that is what Ryan Smith, and I think that's what a lot of people envision for downtown Salt Lake City. A newly renovated or new building, whatever the direction they decide to go in downtown Salt Lake City to host an NBA and an NHL team. Let's continue to develop and modernize downtown Salt Lake City. And let's turn this into a flipping sports mecca down here. If we get baseball, baseball just right down the road with a beautiful stadium right there. Like, let's really go all in on this and not mess around. I'm talking to every elected official out there. Anybody who's complaining about a 5-cent hotel tax, shut your mouth. And let's go all in on this. Let's develop something really special here because the opportunities are here. You've got the NHL, Major League Baseball, that are looking at Salt Lake City and looking at Utah, I mean, like, wow, population growth, tech, all this other stuff. Everybody's seeing the potential, but sometimes we here try to drag our heels and pretend we're living in the 80s. No, come on, let's go. Well, let's build this thing up.
The more we show that we embrace this as a community, the more likely it is Major League Baseball lands. And at some point, maybe, and I've seen everybody say, it'll never happen. No, we didn't think that NHL would ever happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think Major League Baseball was ever a potential. But if we embrace it, if we open up our arms, if we develop and we show that it is that we can improve it and it can improve us, then who's to say in 10 years that the NFL is a complete impossibility?
Yep.
Who's to say it? But if we shut the door on it and legislation is like, absolutely not, and our mayor says, no, not on this ground, this is very important land, and the people in the community are like, nah, we would never want something like that. It's an instant stinker to anybody that wants to invest or the leagues that might want to come outside of the NHL. To me, I think we need to show that this is a great landing spot for these major leagues.
Absolutely. 1227. Don't drag your heels on this, folks. Let's go. Let's build this thing up. Let's build something that fans are going to want to go to, that players are going to want to play in, that everybody wants to be a part of. The potential is just right there. Let's do it. Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. Dan Bickley, where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes?
There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution. You'd have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value, I don't know if that's any longer the case.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It is round number one of the Masters. Hello, friends.
People, it's happening. And don't look now, the beef hammer.
The beef hammer
is rolling.
Joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend, our own beef hammer. It is Brian Taylor. BT, how are you?
What's up, BT? Wow. I feel like it after, what are we, going on 5 days of eating sandwiches. And, yeah, I'm feeling a bit like that, actually. So.
Attaboy.
Appropriate.
Go get that pimento cheese. What's your – you guys brought us that taste of the Masters. What's, like, when you go to that concession stand or, you know, whatever the media buffet table, like, what are you going to when it's go time there at Augusta?
Well, they do have everything you get at the concession stand. They have for us in a grab-and-go area. So you can either go and partake of the traditional fare of sandwich variety, or you can actually have a little restaurant for us that's open for breakfast and lunch, which is phenomenal. So, but as far as the sandwiches go, I mean, first and foremost, stop order of business is always egg salad. To me, that's the egg salad is just kind of the traditional sandwich here. I know pimento cheese gets mixed in there as well, but to me, pimento cheese is a dip for crackers, not a sandwich spread. So that's my take. I know not everybody agrees with that, and that's okay. I always go for the egg salad. Today was the barbecue. Really enjoyed the barbecue sandwich. So, yeah, there you go.
Hey, BT, how much do we take away from day one? For instance, Phil Mickelson, he's through his front nine and he's at one under, or Bryson DeChambeau at three under, or Ryan Fox at 500. How much do we take from day one, or how much weight do we put into this?
Yeah, I mean, there is some significance, I believe, of the last 18, 19, 20 Masters or something like that, at not named Tiger Woods. They've all come from inside the top 10 after day number one. So it's not like you're going to go out and win it. You know, you're not necessarily going to lose it, but you just need to be in position. And so I do think it matters. This is an interesting day because these heavy rains that were expected didn't really happen. So it's a little bit of a lighter than expected rain, but just enough to slow these greens down like we talked about a couple days ago. And we've seen a lot of guys that have been fooled on putts. And yet at the same time, with the wind blowing, Bob and I just got done sitting on 8. We watched Phil and Tony come through 8, and Tony hit it to about 8 feet for eagle. Looked like he was going to knock it in. Phil missed, hit it about probably 20 feet. Phil two-putted for a par. And then Tony knocked it in there and just missed it on the high side. Was expecting it to break a little bit more, and it held up. But so he taps in for birdie. But anyway, what I'm getting at is I think that a lot of these guys are trying to figure out the golf course. Some of them are getting it favorably and getting balls to hold or behave maybe not exactly how we thought they would be. Or how they thought they would be in their memory banks. And so some of the guys are taking advantage of that, and some of them aren't.
You got Ryan Fox with three birdies and an eagle. What do we know about this guy?
Yeah, he's from New Zealand, and in fact, to watch him make that eagle, poured it in on 8, went from 3 to 5, so that's a good spot. Sorry, I was getting a beep in my ear, so I was a little distracted by that. But, Ryan Fox is – I don't have his sheet in front of me. I'm actually out on the golf course right now. But I watched him earlier, and he looked very comfortable. He was hitting some great shots out there. And then, obviously, to dial it in there, he rolled in about a, 18-footer for eagle on 8. It was the longest eagle putt I saw hold out of the 5 or 6 groups that I saw come through. So, it's awesome. Back to Bryson, you mentioned him. His lowest front nine score in the Masters is – a 34, and he was sitting there at 3 under, and then made a bogey on 9. So he ties his low nine. His low opening round is a 66, and that was the year Tiger won in 2019. And he would go on to shoot 75 on Saturday, and ended up tied for 29th. So, what does the first round mean? It can mean a lot, but it doesn't necessarily. It's like I think we talked about in an earlier segment. It's not necessarily about going low. It's about being steadily really good. You know, 68, 69, 70s. Those are okay. You're right in.
How much has this early weather affected things, more or less than you expected?
Less for sure, as far as the moisture. But the wind swirling has guys guessing, like I said. I think that's been the most interesting thing, and especially on 8. Almost everybody was knocking it up around the green because it was straight downwind. 3 straight downwind, which isn't necessarily an advantage because you're trying to keep it short of that green in a certain spot. But holes like that, it matters, right? And then hitting into the wind, some swirling winds. I just watched the guy hit into 11 a minute ago, and he was standing there trying to figure out that wind. If it gusts and you come up short, you're in Race Creek. So you definitely don't want that. So it just keeps these guys guessing. I think it makes holes like 12 even that much tougher at just 155 yards. What's interesting is I think it was Vijay Singh suggested that 12 need to be lengthened by 10 yards, and the chairman talked about it in his conference, and he was really dumbfounded and said that's not going to happen, at least on his watch. And it's interesting that 12 played the fourth toughest hole last year in the tournament. So even at just 155 yards, it certainly doesn't need to be any longer to be difficult for these guys.
I know that the weather isn't as bad as what was expected, but what are we looking like, not just for the rest of the day, but maybe the rest of the week?
Yeah, Yeah, good news is we've got these winds that are going to dry out the golf course this afternoon. The sun is mostly out. It's warm. It's humid. But the wind's blowing. It'll help dry these greens out. Haven't heard the sub-air going on the greens, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But I wonder if they just left the water off it overnight, knowing that, that Mother Nature would provide what it needed. Let this wind blow and dry them out today. If these same winds are expected tomorrow under mostly sunny skies. No precipitation for the rest of the tournament. And then just keeps getting warmer and warmer into the 80s for the weekend. So I think they're going to, I'm sure they hope they get it back to where it was on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when it was really nice and firm. And I suspect with the weather forecast, they'll get there.
What have you seen through the first six or seven holes from returning 2023 Masters champion John Rahm?
You know, I actually didn't get to see, I went out to follow Tony, so I didn't get to see him play. I did notice he parred the first hole, which is a marked improvement from the four-putt double that he made to open the tournament last year. And I think he was the first player in some time, if not ever, to double the first hole and still go on to win the tournament. So he did that, and then I think he birdied three, if I'm not mistaken, to get to red numbers. And I kind of haven't seen where he's been yet. That's one of the kind of the charms and the challenges of Augusta. If you're out on the golf course without electronic scoreboards or the chance to watch any video or anything on phones because you don't have them, it does make it difficult to follow the action while you're out watching the action live, but it's also one of the fun parts about it.
I know we kind of touched on this a couple days ago when you hopped on with us, but do you, now that you've been there for a few days, does it feel like any lingering animosity between PGA guys and LIV guys have kind of dissipated, that's kind of in their rearview mirror now?
It does, for the most part, other than Greg Norman showed up yesterday with a patron ticket, because apparently he wasn't invited as an honorary invitee, and he was out there, and he was kind of stirring up the comments a little bit, saying that security guards, fans, so on and so forth were coming up to him, thanking him for starting the LIV Tour, because they said it was just, they're so excited about it, and he said that's just proof that what they're doing fits into the golf ecosystem. I was commenting to Bob as we walked around, I'm like, have you seen anybody wearing a LIV hat? Any patrons, any fans wearing anything resembling any of their favorite LIV teams or the LIV logo in general? And we haven't seen anything. So I'm not sure what to make of that. But overall, I would say that the temperature on that has been hardly any, considering where it was last year.
Just kind of gauging the same type of temperature. Where are we at with Tiger Woods' excitement? Is it still a buzz around the Masters, or have people really put him on a back burner in the rearview mirror with expectations and interest, or is he still the story?
He's still the story. I mean, as far as fans are concerned, people want to get a look at Tiger Woods. Wherever Tiger goes, range, practice green, golf course, it's deep, and you know where Tiger's at. He's by far and away the biggest figure still in the game, even if he's arguably not relevant in this week's tournament. Now, it's always hard to say that because we've been burned by that in the past, and all of a sudden Tiger shows up and wins at a tournament where you didn't think he had a shot. We've seen Nicklaus win at the age of 46 back in 86. So there's a lot of things that would say, you know, never count a guy like Tiger Woods out. But from a fan and an excitement level, he's still the GOAT, and he still moves the needle out here for sure.
I'm just watching Sergio Garcia on his shot. He looks like a John Deere hat.
He's a little brighter than John Deere.
When are we going to see them allow players to wear shorts through these rounds?
Specifically at the Masters or on the PGA Tour?
I would say the PGA Tour. I don't know if the Masters will ever do it, but let's just say the Tour.
Because even the members can't wear shorts. They don't allow shorts at Augusta for anything other than patrons. I'm wearing shorts right now. So, if you come to play here, if you get invited by a member and you have a chance, you're wearing pants and you're not bringing your cell phone, just like at the Masters, all that kind of stuff. PGA Tour, I mean, they still allow them to wear that, or they do already allow them to wear them in practice rounds. You probably know that already. But as far as tournament rounds, I don't know if they're going to change it. I'll be honest with you. I was always sort of in favor of it, like let them wear shorts, middle of the summer, you know, middle of the U.S. when it's hot and humid and all that kind of stuff. Let these guys give them a break. And yet, as I've watched a couple of LIV events, it almost looks like I'm watching my buddies out at Alpine, you know, standing out there hitting shots in shorts. And so there is something about it. You sort of recognize the professionals, you know, with guys in pants. It's just something you've come accustomed to. And maybe that custom would change if we were used to seeing them in shorts all the time. But at least for now, I think that tradition is one that probably lives on. And anymore, they've done such a good job with the performance fabric in these slacks that it's not like they're wearing worsted wool out there, and you know, with double pleats and thick belts. So they're pretty comfy, I think.
Well, I don't know. Every now and then you see a guy that's got that backside sweat. It's like, oh, man, let that poor dude wear some shorts. It's just that's not a good look.
I may or may not be experiencing that at the moment. Yeah.
Hey. I'll bet it's humid, man. It is humid.
I wish I had counted my steps. We went from 8, which is the top of the hill, down here to 12 because I was like, hey, Bob, we got 15 minutes before I go on with Scotty and Hans. And so I'm like, let's go. And we just kind of hoofed it all the way. I worked up a pretty good little sweat, I got to be honest with you.
Nice.
It's good for me.
All right. Well, BT, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging out. And we'll chat with you again coming up a little bit later on. But you guys doing great work as always. Can't thank you enough.
Thanks. And thanks for letting us be on and share the excitement of the Masters. It's definitely my favorite event. And it's just it's super fun. It's fun to see all these people out here enjoying it for the first time, some for many times. And like I said, on the digital, what the Masters have done with digital, you can literally watch every single swing of any player you want. It's unbelievable good stuff. So enjoy the week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
We love you, BT.
There he is.
See you, boy.
The great Brian Taylor right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
So I was going to put the Hanson Scotty show offer out there for him that if he takes off his shirt and runs across the 18th green while Tiger Woods is putting, that we'd give him the $100.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah.
I'm not saying streaking. I'm just saying take off the shirt, run across the green while Tiger Woods is putting, $100. Would you do it, Lloyd?
No, I don't know if the $100 is quite worth it.
Okay,
I don't think so.
You give 100, I'll give 100. We'll do 200.
Lloyd, can you get us
the
three?
Trouble that I'm about would be getting into? I still don't. I'm not. Yeah, I don't think so.
What would Bob's reaction be?
They're gonna hog tie me and handcuff me and haul me off. I don't think it's worth it.
What would Bob's reaction be if BT ran across the green with his shirt on?
Oh man, that'd be so good.
I don't know. Did you hear that? So I heard a story. I think it was on Real Golf Radio last Saturday. They're talking about. He goes to these events when he's at the Masters or whatever, and he goes essentially dumpster diving to get cups. The cups, because those get, yeah, no.
Bob.
He goes rummaging through the garbages to get the cups.
For the collectibles?
Yes, the collectible cups, because people just throw their cups away. And so he just grabs them so he can bring them home for the family and stuff. And
you can't get them anywhere else.
I mean, they're only $1.50.
They're free out of a dumpster.
Would you do that?
Oh, you
okay,
know
you
would.
Answer me. Why
would you even ask that?
You can take the boy out of Utah County.
I was actually surprised.
You turned your back on me, and I'm cutting a flag off one of those.
I was surprised that Bob, of all people.
I would do that, but a cup, come on. Here's the thing. He's brought us back some of those cups before.
Like, I guarantee those have had somebody's lips on.
Like, he does it, and then he washes them out at where they're staying. I'm like, wait, really?
I promise it's had lips on it. But you know what?
I'm never going to look at that Masters cup the same now.
Yeah. Hands on Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, what you may have missed. Craig Bowlerjack will join us coming up at 1:05. The man who's been on top of this NHL story from the jump, John Gambondora, will join us coming up at 2:05. Has done sports radio in Phoenix forever. He came on and really gave us the heads up on what was going down a couple weeks ago. We will follow up with him coming up at 2:05. You're listening to Hans and Scotty as we get ready for another professional sports franchise to come to Utah. One of the big four. We'll be batting .500, 2 out of 4 with Major League Baseball coming down the pipeline. Let's go. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome Steve Cleveland back to the show.
Follow my storyline a little bit here. So Mark Pope gets a Kentucky job, which leaves the BYU job open. Are we going to see the return of Steve Cleveland to Provo, Utah?
That's probably not happening. But just talking about Mark and that circumstances, I can't even imagine. I would be shocked if he left after all that he's done and where they're at, what's happening. Would that be a great opportunity for Mark? Yes, absolutely. You have resources that are unimaginable. He's also got an entire team back that has a chance to do something special again next year. If Jackson Robinson stays, they're going to be picked in the top 3 or 4 in the Big 12 next year, probably. From a selfish point of view, I hope he stays because I think they've got something really special going on at BYU. But that's his choice, and we'll hear more about it, I guess, if it happens.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Any part of the show,
every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You're a stickler for the details, man.
It's so ridiculous. My brain, just the way I...
There's certain things you pick up on
the world.
And it's me, like, I'm really oblivious to that stuff. Like, I don't pay attention to that stuff. You're always like, you know, I feel like I'm getting 10 pounds. I'm like, you look the same to me all the time. But yet you're like, hey, I noticed you clipped your toenail or your fingernails today. And I'm like, wait, what? Or you do this at this
time.
Yeah,
I know. And based off the meeting we just had, I'm not supposed to alert you to those things.
Hey, so, I think you can alert me to everything.
I'll do better. Being a good friend to you.
I think that's...
And being more kind.
You were being kind. You were telling Lloyd, hey, he's not available during this break because
it's become a certain break for Scotty. A couple things on what you may have missed. So, Scotty, the Utah Jazz back in action tonight at home against Houston. No Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
No John Collins.
Nope.
No Chris Dunn.
Nope.
No Walker Kessler.
No, sir.
No Lauri Markkanen.
Nope.
No Colin Sexton. So, Kenny Lofton, let's go. Let's ride.
Lofton country. Let's ride.
You know, it is what it is at this point. We know exactly what the Utah Jazz need to do. And I have been able to kind of rebuild my perspective on it because it you do get down in the dumps a little bit when the tanking maybe starts a little bit late and you're not tanking for 14% odds at a number one overall pick, but you're tanking to maybe position from 8th to 7th.
Yeah.
And you can get down on that and you feel like fans deserve more, and Jazz fans do deserve more. But I don't think anybody knows that better than Danny Ainge, honestly.
I agree.
I just don't think anybody knows it better than him. So it's like I sent out a tweet today. What the Jazz are doing, you know, they are gearing up and preparing for the right time to strike. I had to talk Bruce Pitcher, Jazz fan Bruce, off the ledge today.
Yeah, I thought you handled that well.
It's just a preemptive strike, man. They're just making sure that they're geared up. Now, they don't know if the winning blow is going to come. They don't know that. But if the opportunity comes, and Danny Ainge is like, holy cow, Ryan. Holy cow, Justin Zanuck.
Yeah.
Holy cow, guys, this is our chance. And they're looking around like, oh, this is our chance? Yes. And we have everything we need to make it happen. How great will that moment be?
That's the hope. That's what you're planning on.
I have built an underground bunker out in San Pete County, and I've got it stocked with supplies that'll last me 3 years.
That home show did you well.
Yeah, supplies that'll last me 3 years. I am sitting here just waiting for everything to clap so I can be like, oh,
I knew it.
I'm ready. And then I head out to my bunker while you guys starve and die of dehydration, and I'm over there.
The zombies are chomping on Lloyd's leg.
I'm over there with my canteen, dumping water on my face, offering you guys some lip balm. It's a Three Amigos.
Yeah, I got you.
Reference. But that's a joke. I didn't really build a bunker, even though I'm contemplating. I'm thinking about it. But no, I'm not even really thinking about it.
I think if I had the financial means, I would be a prepper for sure.
Would you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a part of me that would love to be John Goodman in that movie you suggested to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, Cloverfield Lane. Tinfield Lane or something.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you, in a way, you do prep a little bit. You do have a closet full of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're prepped for...
He won't be found dead with a dirty bottom. Promise.
No. Like, the zombies may chew down on me, but hey, you know what? I'll have the toilet paper.
His backside will be clean. Promise
hey,
you.
Hey, look, when the stuff hits the fan.
Yeah, no, I know it'll be clean.
No, it won't even hit the fan. No, I'm just saying that's good barter material. Like, hey, you know what? You got a couple MREs? Well, guess what? I have a couple rolls of toilet paper. You want to swap?
I can help you. While you're wiping with some poison ivy, I've got exactly what you need. Some Charmin.
Yes. Double ply.
The other thing I wanted to mention in what you may have missed, Orenthal James Simpson passed today.
Well, there's some uncomfortable conversations being had at a pearly gate right now.
Oh, dude. I have never seen a death have this type of disdain and dislike and discomfort as I've seen this on X today. People aren't holding back. They're like, oh, he died today? Isn't it a little too soon? Nah, no, it's not too soon. It's like people were loaded, locked and loaded for this moment.
Well, I mean, there's some individuals out there that, you know, may have a checkered past, and then they pass. They're like, hey, let's look at the legacy for a couple days, and then we'll pile on. But no, everybody's piling on today. And, you know, double homicide kind of tends to do that.
Well, and this is probably one of one where I stand back and I'm like, people got some bad feelings. You know, this is a man that he was rumoring that he was going to come out with a full admittance because there was no, you know, with the double jeopardy laws, he couldn't be tried. And he could make a lot of money by coming forward and getting all the cameras together and having Jim Gray there for the press conference saying, what happened? What happened that day?
Well, Jim, come on. I was a little angry. And
So he was rumoring that he was going to admit, like that was coming from
honestly,
him.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's like some video release, you know, postmartum where he's like,
I wouldn't be surprised either, like, where his family makes a billion
bucks. I
did,
and I got away with it, suckers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And the fact that he was tried civilly, lost every penny that he'd had, that he went to prison for holding hostages and kidnapping and all the other things that he did. I just stand back and say, you know, this is one of the times I'm going to let people just have their opinions.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right. The great Craig Bowlerjack joins us next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Talk a little Utah Jazz final home game of the season. Mercifully, the regular season comes to an end for the Jazz. We'll break it down with Bowler next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.